With Radio On The Go News, I'm Brian Fancher reporting. As of midday today, the number of positive tests for COVID-19 in the broadcast area stood at 145 in Wright County, with 25 in Cerro Gordo County and 19 in Grundy County. Floyd County had 18 positive tests, with Hardin and Hancock counties each reporting 16 cases. Butler County had 15 and Franklin County had 10 positive cases for COVID-19 to date. Statewide, almost 143,000 people have been tested, with over 18,500 coming back as positive. Over 500 people have died from COVID-19 in Iowa. Due to the COVID-19 outbreak, the previously scheduled Relay for Life of Franklin County will still be on Friday, July 24th, but as a virtual online event. The safety of patients, survivors, volunteers, and staff is a top priority. Funds raised help the American Cancer Society to continue with cancer research, a 24/7 helpline, and for continuing services to give patients the care and support they need. Visit Relay for Life of Franklin County on their Facebook page for more information, or if you would like to join a team or start a team, go to relayforlife.org/Franklin County IA. State officials have confirmed an outbreak of COVID-19 among workers at a meatpacking plant in Storm Lake. Iowa Department of Public Health Deputy Director Sarah Reister made the announcement today at the governor's news conference.
Today, we have confirmed an outbreak at the Tyson Pork Processing Plant in Storm Lake, where 555 of the 2,517 employees tested have had a positive result reported so far.
The announcement comes 24 hours after state officials said they were not yet able to link a dramatic increase in coronavirus cases in the Storm Lake area to either of the city's meat plants. Reister says state law does not require businesses to report outbreaks to her agency, but information may be publicly released if necessary to protect the health of citizens.
We've determined confirming outbreaks at businesses is only necessary when the employment setting constitutes a high-risk environment for the potential of COVID-19 transmission.
She says the state does not have immediate access to testing information when 10% of a workforce at a facility like a packing plant tests positive for the virus.
The Department of Public Health and local public health agencies have provided more information to employers and to the public through this COVID-19 pandemic than we've ever provided before, because it is a sensitive balance between protecting patient identity and protecting the health of the public.
She says while there's great interest in having her agency announce when there are outbreaks, she says the most important thing for Iowans to know is how to take care of their own health during the pandemic by wearing a face mask when social distancing is not possible, covering coughs, and washing hands. Iowa's two U.S. senators are asking the Food and Drug Administration to clarify its policies on making alcohol-based hand sanitizer during the pandemic. Iowa ethanol producers were initially given the go-ahead to use some of their ingredients to make sanitizer, but Senator Chuck Grassley of New Hartford says the FDA later changed its guidelines. Now it's unclear if ethanol can be used in the process.
Ernst and I want clarification from FDA so that people that are involved in this good faith effort to help out in this pandemic, I'd suggest they can't be making much money at it, just good faith effort.
Ethanol producers got involved with a sanitizer to both provide a valuable commodity during the health crisis and to also have a marketable product, since fuel sales dropped dramatically with so many people staying home. Grassley says the FDA's revision of guidelines left many in the industry mystified about what standards need to be met for hand sanitizer.
We're in a situation where there's questionable activity going on, that nobody has ill intent, and we're trying to clarify things so that people can continue to do their good work in good faith and not get in trouble for it.
As the economy slowly reopens, Grassley notes the need will continue to grow for hand sanitizer at schools, restaurants, churches, factories, and other locations. Iowa's high school class of 2020 contains about 37,000 students, certainly none of whom could have predicted how this school year is wrapping up in the midst of a pandemic. Professor Nancy Languth, Associate Dean of the University of Iowa College of Education, says it's heartwarming to see Graduating seniors are being recognized in their communities in light of social distancing requirements.
I've just marveled at how people have rallied, whether it's on Facebook sharing their own graduation pictures or districts having parades with their students. I was over at Clear Creek Amana the other day, and I noticed that they had all of their seniors, just lovely banners, individual banners posted along their sports complex.
Had coronavirus not invaded our lives, Langouth says it's unlikely graduation ceremonies for these students would have looked and sounded much like those held in 2010 or even in 2000, which makes this year's class uniquely special.
These 2020 graduates are certainly going to have a memory that any of us that hear someone graduated in 2020, there's a story there. And we're going to want to know, how was that for you? So they will have that.
During a typical graduation, it might only take a matter of seconds for a student to make the walk as his or her name is called to collect a diploma, but those seconds represent a lifetime of achievement up to that point. She says it's important for the student and for their loved ones to have that moment of ritual to recognize all that's been invested.
Financially, I believe that it's over $3 billion is invested in K-12 education in our state annually. We've invested in supporting their music events, their sporting events. We really are all stakeholders in them having this completion. And so when they walk across the stage, it's like we're seeing our investment realized. So we all miss that.
A former public school teacher in Lenox, she says it's a delight to see colorful yard signs, posters, and store windows, even full-scale billboards congratulating the class of 2020.
When you see images of that, you just share in the joy. Even though you don't know that senior, you know that community is invested in their success and wishes them, you know, well, and really shares in their accomplishment.
That's University of Iowa professor Nancy Langouth. Butler County Sheriff's Office last night arrested 24-year-old Dallas Michael James of Applington on the charges of harassment and for public consumption of alcohol. James was released today. Last night about 8:20, Cerro Gordo County Sheriff's Office received the report of a UTV collision in the 4,000 block of 120th Street southwest of Thornton. 30-year-old Michael Zeman of Thornton was operating a 2020 Polaris Ranger on 120th Street conducting farming operations. He was driving east on 120th Street when a passenger, 4-year-old Ariana Zeman of Thornton, accidentally opened the rear door and fell onto the roadway while the Ranger was in motion. Ariana Zeman was transported to Mercy One North Iowa Medical Center for treatment of minor injuries. Michael Zeman was cited for failing to use a child restraint device. This week, the Butler County Board of Supervisors held a public hearing concerning a construction permit application for Hendry's Finisher Farm for a new swine facility in Ripley Township south of Allison. After receiving public comments and a petition, Supervisor Greg Barnett made a motion to approve the application and send it to the Iowa Department of Natural Resources for their review. However, Supervisor Rusty Eddy did not second the motion, so the application will still be sent to the DNR along with the public comments and the petition. Butler Supervisor Tom Heidenworth was not at the meeting. In other business, a construction permit application that had been filed for the Best Finisher Farm in Washington Township near Applington was withdrawn. 12 small rural Iowa communities have received grants from the Iowa Department of Natural Resources Derelict Building Grant Program to help deconstruct or renovate abandoned structures, remove asbestos, and limit construction and demolition materials going to the landfill. The city of Clarion received $63,923 for deconstruction work. Following deconstruction activities, the city will create a downtown pocket park using bricks from the former building. The park will be used for informal gathering and for outdoor movies, music events, and other arts entertainment. A total of $403,000 in grants were awarded. For Radio On the Go News, Brian Fancher reporting.